That's right, the Olympics. About to get started. I have actually gotten started already, but the opening ceremony is about to get started tomorrow. For more on this, we're bringing in our correspondent, Steve Kastenbaum, who's live from Pyeongchang right now. Steve, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Or whatever time of day it is with you right now.
I was just going to say, it's 10.08 p.m. here in Pyeongchang up in the mountains.
Oh, well, thank you for ending the day with us. I appreciate that.
My pleasure.
So the Olympic events have already begun, haven't they?
Yeah, this usually happens at the games, whether it's summer or winter games. A couple of the competitions, they start early because there's elimination rounds and that sort of thing. So some alpine skiing, some of the biathlon and curling got underway today, but most of the games will get underway after the opening ceremony, and that opening ceremony will be taking place. It starts about 22 hours from now.
How chaotic, I know you're just arriving there and you have been there for a couple of days. How chaotic is the Olympic Village and all of the hoopla in the area in Pyeongchang?
It varies from, games to games. And I would say that these games here in South Korea so far have proven to be very organized and not chaotic at all. From the moment you get off the airplane and see your first, Olympics volunteer greeting you, answering any questions you might have, all the way to the point when you get to where you're staying, it's all been very well organized so far. And it seems to be running rather smoothly. The South Koreans have gotten all of the venues built well in time for these games, and they've had some opportunities to do some dry runs here for a while and try out the shuttle bus system and that sort of thing. And so far, it's been going rather well.
I heard that some of the support officials were rocked by norovirus in the Olympic Village ahead of the Olympians actually arriving. Do you know anything more about that?
Yeah, a few dozen security guards had tested positive for this norovirus, so they wound up quarantining 2,000 of them and replacing them with members of the military until they could all be given the go-ahead to go back to work. They're very conscious here about spreading disease or illness or germs. They have signs all over the place for telling people not only to wash their hands regularly, but giving them instructions on how to wash them using soap and wash your hands for at least 30 seconds vigorously. It says using the little mascots for these Olympic Games. So they're very conscious about the fact that there's going to be spectators here from all over the world and athletes from all over the world, and they don't want anybody getting sick and having that experience ruined by an illness.
Steve, let me ask you a question about the media coverage. My wife complains, and I agree with her, about the way the Olympics has been covered. And what she talks about is, look, when we were kids, whether it was ABC or NBC or whatever, they spent almost the entire time actually showing all the different athletic contests. But in recent years, NBC in particular, it's like they seem to spend half of their time doing these documentaries on the individual athletes that take up huge amounts of time and not actually covering all the athletic contests.
It's hard for me to tell what you guys get to see back at home. I've done the games in 2016 in Rio, and it really wasn't. I couldn't get a good sense of what the audience was watching at home live versus having to go online and search for clips or buy some sort of access pass from the website. So I'm not sure, how it comes across back in the States. The Summer Olympics are bigger than the Winter Olympics, but still there are 102 different competitions here, and there's no shortage of things to be covering on any given day.
Yep.
The time difference, the 14-hour time difference, we're 14 hours ahead, does make it a bit of a challenge when it comes to what you can broadcast live. But in the case of these games, that means many of the more popular events are taking place during the morning hours here, so they can be broadcast during primetime hours back in the U.S.
I do know that there are some American viewers that do like tracking some of the characters here, whether or not they like the documentaries. And I know some of the big names here are Lindsey Vonn, who's a skier, and then Shaun White, of course, the snowboarder. What other big names will American sports watchers be looking out for?
You're definitely going to hear a lot about Chloe Kim. She's 17 years old. It's her first Olympics. She's a snowboarder for Team USA, but her parents emigrated from South Korea to the United States, and then she still has many relatives here, many family members here who are going to be cheering for her while she's out there competing against some of the best snowboarders in the world, and she stands a chance of winning a medal herself, and in many ways, she's competing for two countries, so you're going to hear a lot about her. There are a lot of characters. There is the Nigerian bobsled team. Yes, Nigerian bobsled team. For the first time, the Nigerians have put a team in place here in the Winter Games. And those members of that bobsled team, some of them are actually live in Chicago, and their trainers are from the U.S. and Canada. And so you've got some stories like that, you know, sort of a Cool Runnings type story. You've got a Jamaican skeleton competitor as well. And so there are some interesting stories like that that are getting a lot of attention.
How bad is the security? I mean, how tight it is it, and how much of a how frustrating is it for the tourists who are actually going there to have to get through the security?
Well, I haven't had a chance yet to mingle with the spectators. The areas where they can go right now, because the games haven't started yet, are really kind of limited to this coastal area, they call it, this coastal zone, which is where most of the arenas are. I'm up in the mountains right now, and I haven't gone down to that part of the Olympic Games yet. But up here, you know, security is tight, but it's not, you know, oppressive at all. It's pretty seamless here, there haven't been long lines for those of us working at these games yet to pass through security. You know, that could change as the days wear on, but so far it hasn't been a problem.
A big story here, of course, is North Korea and South Korea both marching in the opening ceremonies and then also going to be competing together on shared teams. What can you tell us about all that?
The one team where they have players from both countries is the women's hockey team.
Yes.
And there's mixed feelings about that here in South Korea. Some people are proud of the fact that they are, you know, extending this olive branch to the north. But others are really not happy about this, about, you know, the teams marching in together under one flag. They say that it's not a time to be lenient toward the north, given everything that's been going on there. So there are a lot of mixed feelings about that. And I would say the country seems to be split right down the middle over this idea. Some folks are very angry, actually, with the president of South Korea for doing this, because they feel it takes away the attention from their own South Korean athletes who've worked so hard as a team to get here, and now they're having to incorporate a few members of North Korea's athletic community.
That's right. And meanwhile, the Vice President of the United States is there and will be there for the opening ceremonies as well. Steve Kastenbaum, many Olympics are interesting. This one has a whole bunch of storylines for you to track, and we're glad you're doing it for us. Appreciate it, sir.
My pleasure. Thank you.